Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster, and joining with me today is Pat.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing wonderfully well. It's Friday.
It's Friday. Friday. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
I just blinked and it was
like, I know.
It was Monday. Yesterday?
Yep.
Unbelievable. I want to give some shout outs this morning. I want to give a shout out out there to Tony. Tony, we're praying for you, hoping you feel better, man. But good seeing you. James in Texas. Oh my goodness. Talk to us, man. I can't wait to hear from you, brother. But been thinking about you. I want to give you a quick shout out. And Pastor Steve, Pittsburgh.
In the house.
In the house. Oh, man. Love me some of that, Pastor Steve.
Oh, yeah.
And Pastor Maria. Want to give you a shout out today. Of course, we want to welcome all of our new VFN Radio listeners. Oh, Glenn in Nebraska, love that you like this there on Facebook. That's so wonderful. And Gordon. And I want to welcome Kathleen and Bacaria and Rhonda and Sydney. Oh, my goodness, and Kevin, and Denise, and Jean, and Dominic, and Lewis, and Stephanie, and Jerry, and Lynette. Oh, it's just so wonderful. Every single day, there's more of us that are joining the conversation. I want to encourage you this morning. That if you're the Lord's today, if you're a child of God, you know, there's great encouragement. God tells us in Philippians 4, he says, listen, whatever is noble, whatever is true, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, there's a lot of things to be thinking about.
That's right.
But why not set your mind on things above? You know, listen, worrying about a situation is not going to change a single thing. But you can talk to the one who can change that situation. And you can reset your mind and set your focus and set your gaze on God and what he can do, not on what you can't do.
That's right.
And sometimes our mind is just goes every which way with every single thought that comes, you know, in there or gets planted in there.
That's right.
But I encourage you, listen, set your mind on God. Set your mind on the things above. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I mean, he said, don't be anxious about anything. That's anything.
That means everything.
And we can trust him this morning. Well, I'm so encouraged. We are going to have a wonderful program here today. We're glad that you've joined us for VFN Radio. Of course, we want to encourage you to download the app. If you haven't had a chance to download our app, you can do that at the Apple Store or your Google Play Store if you have the Android phone. It's being updated every day. You have series and all A to Z and original tenant of the church, original tenant of the country. I mean, it is full. I mean, every day I'm looking, I'm thinking, wow, this is awesome. VFN Radio on the go. But today we're going to have a conversation. We're going to revisit some timeless treasures in VFN Radio, and we're going to spend the first hour together rethinking church. I mean, this has been such an encouraging I love when we talk about rethinking church.
Right, yeah, it's very good.
I mean, it's so encouraging because it's okay for us to rethink. It's okay to examine what we're doing.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that a wise man gives thought to his ways. Should we not give thought to our ways? We're going to rethink church. And so we're going to talk about a segment that we previously aired called Not Us and Them, Just Us. And in this segment, we're going to talk about just a mentality sometimes we have as believers regarding the church. And it's not us and them it's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We are one church, one body, one family. We are the bride of Christ.
That's right.
And together we are one. And this is going to help us, because sometimes we got to get this kind of in our DNA. We have to let the word just kind of wash over us and renew us. And I, in fact, just listen up.
You know, rethinking church, it's always important. And this is a conversation that we're having, you know, VFM Radio. It's just one conversation that about, you know, what God's been laying on our heart to be able to encourage you, to get you to start thinking outside the box. Thinking outside the box. And so we call this the original tenet of the church, a rethinking church. Mm-hmm. We want to begin to think, not just one word, rethinking, re and then thinking. What a concept. Let's think. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, it's because my father did it. And, mm-hmm. and then you talk to his father and say, why are you doing it? Because it's because my mother did it.
Right.
Does anybody know why you're doing it? I mean, is there any, and go back to the word, if only 19% of the church is reading the Bible, the thing is that we're doing things for many, many reasons, but God is not the reason for a lot of it then, if we're outside of his word, maybe philosophies or traditions or something of that nature. What I want to talk about is, in regards to rethinking church, is there is no us and them. There is no us and them. There's just us. Let me say that again. There is no us and them. You hear people quite often when they're talking about, and we try to formulate what we're saying in a way that this is our driving force and understanding that we are for the church.
Mm-hmm,
right. But we're not for what people are calling the church, buildings, organizations, and all that. We're for the people that are the church, believers. We're for Christians.
Mm.
And we're supposed to be. And it's just us. There is no us and them. There's just us. And, you know, some good examples, understanding that when you think about Joshua, when Joshua was facing a battle, and the angel of the Lord shows up and he says, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or are you on their side? And the angel says, neither. He's on God's side.
Right.
And there's only one church. When you think about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, he says, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, which is a journey we all have to go on.
Right.
Completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we are called to one hope, when we were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And in all. Listen, there's only one. That's why, you know, think about this. Why in the world would a, when you think about one human body, why would a hand speak against an arm? Why would an eye speak against an ear? Why would a foot speak against a leg?
Right.
Kind of ridiculous, because it's the same body. Although it's we're many parts, we're one body. But you have to understand, if there's cancer in the body and you're speaking against the cancer, it's the body gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cell doing its own thing.
Right.
It's a rapid multiplication of what's normally supposed to happen at the same rhythm of every other cell. It's actually multiplying faster. Hence, you got a growth, you got a tumor or something of that nature. And so speaking about what's wrong in the body is not speaking against the body.
Mm-hmm.
And we're for the church. We're for you. We're for Jesus. If you're for Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you're a believer, you can't be for Jesus and against the church, because it's his body.
Right.
It's his body. And it's so important to understand that. So when you think about the church, think about people. And you think about three aspects of how the church is addressed. There's the world church, which is the entire body of the church, and the universal church, which is everything, everybody that ever was, is, and will be, that became Christians, who are Christians and who will be Christians, Christ followers. So there's the universal church. Then there's the regional church. The regional church is like when you hear them talk about, and writing the Bible, they talk about the church of Ephesus, the church of New York, the church of Smyrna, the church of Georgia, the church of America.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you can do that because it's not buildings, it's not organizations, it's not denominations, it's a people. And then you can talk about the local church, which are the same universal church, just different pieces of the church, different pieces of it. And so understanding that if we start defining the church as anything other than what it is, everything gets confusing, and all of a sudden somebody starts thinking that you're talking against the church, and you're not, you're for the church. You know, that we lay down our lives for the church, and you should lay down your lives for the church, but not for an organization.
Right.
Not for some man's philosophies, and not for some traditions, but just for the body, for the people, for the people. And so understanding that, then when we're rethinking church, begin to think about church as people. Begin to think about it as the body of Christ, human beings who've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of their life. Are we in many different positions in the body? Yeah, we got hands and feet and eyes, and we have different functions, but together we're one body. And God gives gifts to that one body to be able to function in the context of that. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about the gifts. And the reason why he gives the gifts is not that any part's any better than any other part. It's just for a particular function that happens in the church. He talks about it in Ephesians 4:11. It says, it was he, which is Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. To what? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body, that's this one, the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity and the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. And he says that we, each of us should be able to do this with Jesus Christ being the head, with each part joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, that we grow and we build ourselves up in love as each part does our work.
Right.
So there's a function that we have in the body. There's something that we're called to do. And so you cannot not address the cancer. If you identify yourself by your dis-ease, what you're being attacked with, instead of identifying yourself, or you identify yourself as, you know, I'm a, and you name whatever name that you gave yourself and your organization. And there's people that will lay down their lives for the organization.
Right.
And that's just a man's it could be a good idea or a bad idea, but it is an idea that somebody came up with. Because when you look at the Word of God talks about us as a universal church, in all of us, and then segments of us, which would be regional. Then you have the local church. When Paul went from city to city and town to town, he was not going to different churches. He was going to different parts of the church. And when people would make their Jesus the Lord of their life, a new church would birth around that whole situation.
All right.
And which means a gathering. He says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And if Jesus is in the midst, if Jesus is in you and you're a believer, and Jesus is ruling in your midst, even with two of you, then who's to add to that? How can you add to that? And so it's so important. It's so important that when we're talking about what we're saying from VFN Radio and VFNT, we're talking to you to encourage you as the church. And even if you've gone astray and you once were walking with the Lord, I want you to know that God loves you and God's got a plan for you. We're talking to you too. We're hoping to encourage you to come back to the universal church, maybe in your region, maybe in a local expression of the church, to bring you hope. And those that maybe you're being drawn to God, you don't know God, you never knew him, but now you're feeling this drawing to God. And that we're talking to you to join the church, which is the body of Christ. And so we're not trying to, and this is the big thing, is that though that seeing it the wrong way, people think that they're building their kingdoms, the kingdoms of man versus the kingdoms of God, with their own philosophies and their own concepts and traditions, versus there's only one kingdom in regards to the church. It's the kingdom of God, of which Jesus is king over.
Right.
And we're supposed to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things and stuff are added to us. And understanding that hey, to be for the church is to be for Jesus Christ. But to not mention the very thing that's hurting the church is to be disobedient to God and to be a partner with one who destroys.
Right.
If you see what's going on and you see a part of the church going to the slaughter, they're making decisions, they're not introducing people to the voice of God, and they're totally vulnerable to the wolves devouring them, and you know this and you see this, and you know plainly that, you know, that God's going to hold you accountable for not saying something. And you, if you don't say anything about it, and we're going to talk about this in a few moments, you have a fear of man versus a fear of God. Because the fear of God, you're going to tell them. You're going to let them, hey, listen, mm-hmm. listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. You're going to have to spend some time with God. And so when you're rethinking church, I want you to think about this, that to be in competition with any part of the church is like a hand to be in competition with the eye, or the eye to be mm-hmm. in competition with the ear, or the foot to be in competition with the leg. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And if you've built your value and your sustention of life based on what you're getting from the body of Christ instead of on Christ himself, then you're going to try to sustain something that's artificially being sustained for your own personal benefit instead of letting God do whatever he's going to do with it.
Right.
We're called a vine. We go wherever the sun gives light, wherever God, that's what we do. We have family. God gives these gifts, but the gifts are to be able to train God's people for works of service. So every one of us are called to be the church, the body of Christ. And so I wanted to encourage you in rethinking the church, that when you look at a spirit of competition, which is, when you think of it, like it really is, I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Right.
It's like, it's embarrassing. What are you doing? Secondly, when you look at selfish ambition in the context of the church, you're being selfish against it's like the hand being selfish. If the hand gets selfish from the arm might say, hey, I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah.
And then the hand dies. If the heart gets selfish and say, hey, I feel like I'm more important than the body, then the whole body dies. Selfish ambition is ridiculous when you think about your body parts and how they function in the anatomy of your body. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how ridiculous it really is in the body of Christ. And so understand this then, that means if the spirit of competition and ambition divides, then it will divide the body of Christ. And just like in the natural sense, it'll bring death to a part of your body. We can end up hurting or harming the body of Christ when you think in the area of selfish ambition or competition. It's one, we need to get together.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other. But we need followers of Jesus Christ. We need to follow Jesus, not men. And we follow Jesus, we follow the Lord, we're actually following what we have in common is we come together, we say amen, because we're hearing the same voice, the same Lord, the same Spirit. That's what amen means. It doesn't mean, hey, that's a good song or that's a good word. It means that, hey, I'm in agreement. I bears witness with me. I've been spending time with God. I abide with God and he speaks to me and I heard the very same thing. It bears witness with my mm-hmm. spirit. Hence, we say amen. So therefore, anyone or anything who inspires you to follow, be a fellow believer, to serve and trust the Lord and to obey the Lord should be celebrated. We should celebrate that, whether it was a song, whether it's a radio program, whether it's a television broadcast, no matter what it is, if it inspired you. At the same time, this also means that anything that discourages you, anything that divides you, anything that causes you to feel like us and them, versus like, oh, you know, this is, I got to get along with my hand because I need my hand, even though my hand's acting up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always thinking about, Lord, help me get along with my hand.
Right.
Help me get along with my eye. Doesn't mean that your eye wants to get along with you, but you have to be open to the probability that if your hand repents, that you're going to get along with it because
mm-hmm.
we need each other. It doesn't mean that it will happen, but on your side of history, for you to be on the right side of the equation, when you're rethinking church, understand that we cannot have an us and them mentality. It's just us. It's the universal church spoken of regionally, and often we see locally in the expression, we are not an organization, we're an organism. And so an organism is a living body, if you would. And so what we do at VFM Radio, we're here to encourage the body of Christ, the church, to inspire you. We're not here to inspire organizations. We're here to talk to you, the believer who wants to know God more and who wants to hear his voice and who wants to know when you go to sleep tonight that God's going to speak to you, that he guides you and leads you as a shepherd. We are for you. We are so for you that we fought many fights against men's religions and traditions just to be here to tell you that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life and that you can survive difficult times. You can survive and be fruitful in your life. You can have a marriage and family by walking with God. So VFN TV and the Data Radio program is here as it's a ministry of Greg Lancaster Ministries, and it's here specifically for that. to encourage you, to let you know about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to inspire you and say, you know what? I can do this thing today. To give you the hope to say, you know what? I'm going to try to get along with my hand today. I'm going to try to get along with the parts of the body of Christ that are not trying to get along with me. And I'm going to go ahead and accept the fact that right now they don't want to, but if they do, I'm wide open to that getting along, because it's important for us, for our Father, to see his children getting along under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So rethink in church. The original tenet of the church, we're the body of Christ. Jesus is the firstborn from amongst us. Not only is he our Lord and Savior and King, but he is the firstborn of the church. He's the head of the church, and it's his body. So understanding that means this, that for us to get along is for Jesus' body to function as it was designed to do. Yeah, the enemy's sowing things continually, but we fight against that. We fight against those mindsets and the accusations of the enemy, and we do our best to give honor to each part as it does its work.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. This is so good. This is so good because, you know, there's only one kingdom.
That's it.
And one king.
That's right.
I mean, there's only one. Mm-hmm. And you think about it, I mean, it's okay to talk about what's hurting the church. I mean, you love the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your arm had a growth, mm-hmm, and something was like wrong with it, would you ignore it?
Right.
Would you let the growth just, if you cared about your arm, mm-hmm, I mean, if you cared about your body,
right,
you would say, hey, because I love it, we need to address this. We need to look at it. And we need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But in a way that's going to bring healing. You're not going to just dish your arm because you need your arm. And I think this is so important. I mean, they really need to really, you know, not only rethink this, but meditate, mm-hmm, on this and also discuss it with other believers and share with brothers and sisters.
Right.
You know, because we are to love the church, God's people, mm-hmm, not anything else that man made up.
Right.
Isn't that important?
Very important. And I like also what he said. He was talking about the gifts of the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. They're for the church. They're not for us. They're not, you know, so we can hang some plaque on the wall, say, hey, I'm a teacher, pastor, right, evangelist. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's for the building up of the body.
Of the body.
Know? Right. We've so twisted it.
And the thing about it is that, you know, you got to love your body. You know, yeah. You got to love the body of Christ. If you're talking against Jesus' bride there,
mm-hmm,
but the body of Christ, the church, the people of God, we need to be humble and love one another and prefer one another even above ourselves. So love, we're talking about, shouldn't be any spirit of competition or even jealousy or anything like that.
Right.
You know, you should resolve in your own heart and in your own mind towards not just the church, but to anybody,
mm-hmm,
always move in a position of love. I mean, if Jesus, mm-hmm, tells you to love your enemies, how many enemies do you really have? Come on. He says, love them, do good to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you should always take the posture of just love. Love means you go first.
That's right.
Love means I prefer you. Love, mm-hmm, first means I deny myself so that you can be better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we've been talking about rethinking church.
Right.
We want to stay in this flow. And I want to, what we're going to do now is we're going to transition into another rethinking church moment we get back from this break. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? You know, there's a lot of books that I've read in my life and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive and he's got a plan for you and he wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your voice and he wants you to know his voice. Find out more at iabide.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach, mm-hmm, McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. We just had a wonderful time in the first hour, just before the break, talking about and re-listening to Rethinking Church. Not us, not them, just us. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. But we're going to stay on the flow of Rethinking Church. And we're going to transition to a segment that is entitled Rethinking Church, We Made It Up, says George Barna. And he's going to share some statistics, and we're going to rethink this just from some statistics that was happening in the church, and we're going to come back and share some more about it. Listen up.
If you have not yet read the book, and this is a book that will just encourage you if you're wondering what the heck is going on, what's happening. George Barna, I mean, who would ever think a statistician? I mean, can you imagine sitting down with George? So those waffles, 4 out of 5 waffles are like, I mean, it's like, okay, thanks. I appreciate that, George. But he studies the church, and he begins to look at our fruit and mm-hmm. look at where we are at. And in his book, he talks about, it's called Worn Out on Church, WORN, Worn Out on Church Revolution, Finding Vibrant Faith Beyond the Walls of the Sanctuary. And there's one thing he talks about in his book about the local church. He says that we have a tendency to promote to the world that the church, and we've heard this, that the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. Like most advertising slogans, he says, this notion is emotionally appealing. The trouble is that this particular sentiment is not biblical. He says, as we know, Jesus alone is the hope of the world. But when you understand where the church is at, you know, he goes on to say that the local church, if the local church is the hope of the world, then the world has no hope at all.
Oh, wow.
Because you think about it, because we're all sinners. I mean, how could we be the hope?
That's right.
We're not hope. Now, if we listen to the Lord and we obey him and follow him, abide with him, then there's hope because Christ in us is going to reach them, and we're going to preach his kingdom is near them, not hey, we are near you. We're trying not to get in the way. Paul says, I hope my flesh does not distract from the
Hindered
message.
This year.
Yeah, I hope it's not bothering you. We tend to have a tendency to get in the way, especially if we are saying we're the hope of the world. And the statistics alone begins to talk about this. He says, you know, being in a right relationship with God and his people is what matters. Scripture tells us that devoting your life to loving God with all of your heart, mind, strength, and soul is what honors him. Being a part of a local church may facilitate that or may not facilitate that. Right. It always follows our conversations, don't it?
Yeah, right.
I'm just reading George Barna here. I'm reading George Barna. I'm reading George Barna, and you've got to get this because he statistically has proven this. And he's frustrated. He's frustrated because when you read the Bible and you see the church, it's like if we've been together with Christ that long, how come we don't look more like his disciples? Mm-hmm. How come we're not being transformed into his image and likeness? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget, he goes on to say, that the current forms of religious practices and community were developed hundreds of years ago, long after the Bible was written, in an attempt to help believers live more fulfilling Christian lives. Mm. We should keep in mind that what we call church, it's just one interpretation of how to develop and live a faith-centered life. We made it up, he writes. It may be healthy and helpful, but it's not sacrosanct. Mm-hmm. And that word means that because we call it church, it's not it's not as holy as Christ. It's not
right.
It's not sacrilegious to ask yourself and to rethink this thing called church. It's just because it's something that we made up in the context of how we're doing it. Because I remember when God had me on this journey, and I'm looking and I'm saying, I see what you're doing, and I think it's so cool. I mean, I really like this, and I like the Rotary Club too, and that club I was in school, I just love it. It's just really cool. I like community. I was in the military. I had, you know, some guys and stuff that we hung out with and these different things. But the issue that I'm having here, this is the issue I'm having. I can't find it in the scriptures. I remember that Pat and I were in a meeting once and somebody says that that's not biblically ethical or something like that. And right. I'm like, help me out. I'm totally open. Where would this be at? You know, yeah, right. Fill me in. Right?
That's right.
That's it. I said, fill me in. I'm totally.
You got a book? I'm telling you. Well,
I'm like, I am pumped. I am on the edge of my seat. I have my Franklin planner out and I'm leaning forward, buddy. And I'm going to write down exactly what you said because I've been looking for this answer for a long, long time.
And of course, tell me.
Yeah. And then, of course, the particular person, you know, acknowledges it doesn't exist.
Right.
But prior to that confrontation, they were talking like this thing existed that you can't put your finger on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for us to realize that we made this up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could help us or it could hinder us.
Mm-hmm.
But not being willing to rethink what we're doing, something that we made up, is foolish.
Mm-hmm.
It's foolish. Somebody says, well, you know, every time I go to this particular place, I experience God. Well, if you're a believer, it's because Christ is in you. The hope of glory is Christ in you. The hope of glory is not the church. It's Christ in you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that when two or more who are believers are gathered together, then Jesus Christ is in your midst, not just in you, but now he rules over you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing the church when two or more come together, you're seeing the fulfillment of Christ ruling in the midst of the church. Now, whether you do that under a tree in Afghanistan or whether you do that in a crystal cathedral in California or whether you do it, you know, at a drive-in theater where some people are doing it there in an off day or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just wherever you're at is where the church is at.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to rethink this because we could be putting all of our energies and efforts into something that we invented, we made up. And we got to ask ourselves this question then. Is what I'm doing and what I'm preaching and what I'm telling other people to be a part of and to actually take what's God's and invest in it, mm-hmm. is it helping them fulfill the Great Commission? Is it helping them be fruitful? And is it helping them to hear the voice of the Great Shepherd that they're supposed to hear?
Mm.
Is it helping them love God, love others, and lead others to the same?
Right.
And if he goes on to write in this book, and you've got to read this. This is just so enlightening when you read it. But he talks about in here, my bookmark is missing, but about statistics. And these statistics about the local church, it's amazing what they're saying about where we are and what we've invented. He says, the biweekly attendance at worship service is, by believers on a mission, generally the only time they worship God.
Mm.
So the thing that we created, that we made up, that's the only time that they do what they're supposed to do all the time. So we got to say, what did we do that made you think that what you're called to do 24/7, you only do it biweekly when you come into this place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whatever you're doing it in is irrelevant. We're talking about what did we promote that caused them to think that was okay.
And it's okay to evaluate that. It's okay to rethink that.
Yes, of course. Especially since you're going to have to answer alone for that. I'm like, Lord, please, I just like to move away from Jeremiah. But God deals harshly with shepherds and church leaders who don't ask these questions and allow God to answer them, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, we are doing things that are not, they're not bringing people closer to God, but it's keeping them in a confined, immature, and they're dependent on you type state.
Mm-hmm.
And where they're being taken advantage of, they're being devoured and these different things. But Jeremiah 25 talks about that in 26. But it goes on to say in his book, George Barna, that 8 out of every 10 believers, that's 80%, do not feel they have entered into the presence of God or experienced a connection with him during the worship service.
Mm.
So when they come together for the biweekly encounters. We were saying earlier that they do not even, 80% don't even experience God.
Right.
But yet, they only do it when they're in that particular thing that we made up. And it's like, are we willing to throw away everything that we made up so that people will encounter him? Hmm. Are we willing? I mean, Jesus walked past everything that men made up.
Right.
That's right.
In the streets. And when he did go into the things the men made up, they tried to kill him and they were mm-hmm. upset with him. And so he walked the streets, mm-hmm. the dirt mm-hmm. streets. And so God had to walk outside of what men made up.
Wow.
To be God. And people followed him. The people who got all caught up in the things they made up were worried that they were going to lose the people that they had confined in the thing they made up. Mm-hmm. Right. And so then they began to plot against God. They began to plot against Jesus because they were jealous and they thought he's going to have a greater following. And in that, I got to do away with him. I got to kill him.
Right.
Right.
That's it. You know, that's no Acts light. So understanding that, it says half of all believers say they do not even feel they have entered into the presence of God or experienced a genuine connection with him during the past year.
Half?
Half of regular church attendance. We're not talking about, you know, the people who don't even go, they call themselves Christian. We're talking the ones that go right. at least twice a month. He goes on to say that only one out of every four churched believers say that when they worship God, they expect him to be the primary beneficiary of their worship, which means this. Most people expect it. They think that worship is about them. 75% of the people that worship, that's why the worship leaders come in like tissues. You know, you pull them like tissues from a Kleenex box. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. next one. Mm-hmm. That's why that he or she has to be dynamic and has to put this show on. I like what Kechara says in Texas. She's talking about, you know, give a shout out to you this morning, Kechara. She said, it was like a concert. We would just show up for this concert. didn't get anything from it, but it was like this concert. It was just a big right. show.
Right.
And you have to, when people think that that worship, the music is about them, that's what happens. And the question is, sir, who has a gift of music, ma'am, who has a gift of music, that are you okay with that? What's invented? Are you right. really okay with that? Remember, this was an issue that Satan, you know, didn't deal with.
Sure.
He didn't deal with that because he was a musician. So, I mean, we can blame everything on whatever else, but you got to ask the question. If you know that's true, and if you know that if some man's told you that you're going to have to put on a good show
mm-hmm.
because these folks think worship is about them right. instead of about God, by the way,
mm-hmm.
then that whole thing is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's wrong.
Right.
It's man-centered, not God-centered.
Yeah, and it just kind of negates the very fact in Kenya where they're beating on a round saw blade to have music while they're clapping their hands and God's showing up and people are getting healed without any hair product at all. I mean, this
no spiky
going,
or nothing.
No spike and no... You know, the perfect this and perfect that. Because you know why? Because when they're beating on the saw blade and they're clapping their hands, they know their worship is about God.
Right.
And so you got to make up your mind. You know, what have we... I'm talking about rethinking this thing. Be willing... And it's really tough because when you start walking with God, you have to give up everything man made up to be able to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to do that. And so you'll be surprised, like, oh, I really liked that part. It's pretty good. That was pretty good. Yeah, the neurosurgeon, the foot doctor, the children's ministry, the men's ministry, the wife's ministry is like, let's just compartmentalize this thing. We don't like each other anyway. Let's just spread us out and you guys raise. As a matter of fact, they even say that specifically in here in regards to discipling. It says the large majority of the church, he says, believers rely upon their church rather than their family to train their children to become spiritually mature.
Wow.
And over again, it's the statistics are just not good in regards to that. In regards to investment, he says the churched Christians give away about 3% of their income in a typical year and feel pleased at their sacrificial generosity.
Wow.
He studied them. I mean, he's talking to them. Fewer than one out of every 10 churched Christians donate at least 10% of their income to churches and other nonprofit organizations. More than one third claim to do so. So he's saying that 10% out of that tithe, but 33% say they do.
Right. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? It's like it's for men. You have to understand all this stuff is for men, but you will answer at the throne of God. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this because if you're following us this conversation, first of all, if you're a pastor, you're really like you're listening intently right now because every time you read your word, you're thinking like this is not in there, but I know they have to do this because this keeps this thing going and it all becomes about this thing that we made up that has to keep this machine moving.
That's right.
And God's called you to be free. And you have to acknowledge the fact that when you lead people to God, some people want to be with them, some don't. You just have to honor their decision.
Right.
You can't want it for them more than they want him. And so the church is the people who want him, who are hungry for him. When asked to explain, he goes on to say, their understanding of biblical stewardship, less than one out of 20, includes resources such as time, relationship, ideas, skills, and other types of assets. So think about it, that nobody thinks about, hey, not only do I tip God financially, give him his tithe, but I'm supposed to give myself, my stuff, my things.
Imagine that.
Then it doesn't cross their mind in America. Mm. It doesn't cross their mind. In regards to servanthood, he says, in a typical week, only one out of every four believers will allocate some time to serve other people. Most of the time, it's dedicated to volunteering in church programs that serve congregants. Little effort is invested to serve in needy people outside the congregation. It is so, it's like, you know, let me, wow. It's just like, did you ever think of going into the harvest field? Mm-hmm. Well, no, the thing that you created allows me not to.
Mm-hmm.
It allows me not to.
That's right.
But if you just open your eyes for a moment, just for a moment, and I always think about this. I think about the movie Midnight Express, and I can't tell you, it's been years since I've seen it, so I can't tell you what the content of it is, but I remember one particular scene in it. I would encourage you to watch it on Clearplay, just in case. That he was a true story. He was arrested for smoking his Bible. He was arrested for transporting hash. He had hash, which is a drug, and he had it wrapped in foil, and he taped it around his chest or something like that. He put a shirt on. He's going to get on the plane, and he gets caught, and he gets put in a Turkish prison. And everybody kind of just, they're all locked up in this prison, and they couldn't, you just did your time. And they had this exercise dungeon that looked like a grinding mill, but it had a pole in the middle of it, concrete pillar in the middle of it, and it was all dirt, and then it had, you know, stone circular thing around it, and they would just all walk in one direction. They'd always just walk in one direction. And he just kind of eventually quit fighting and just joined in, and they showed him, you know, just doing what everybody else did. And this is the church. This is what the church is doing. This is what you do. It's time to do our 15 minutes and move on. And so he decided, I've got to get a hold of myself. I've got to get a hold of myself. I've got to shake myself. I can't just, and he began to look at things and say, this is not right. I can get free from this.
Right.
I can get free from this. And the call, if you haven't read the call, A Prophetic Word from Rick Joyner, you got to read it because this is exactly what it's like. And then you begin to question, look around, and go, this is stupid. This is stupid. You know, ignorance or insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's insane.
Is it working?
It's insane. If we're it's not going to ever change if we keep doing the same thing. Why not let's rethink this thing and say, maybe we're supposed to be the church instead of go to it, from the very fact that we are the church, that we're going to be drawn together. And in that, like the people who are banging on the saw blade and clapping their hands in Kenya, and God's healing people and delivering people and setting them free and saving the witch doctor in the community, just like the book of Acts. Maybe. And so he says this, he's walking in the exercise yard, going in the same direction that everybody else is in that little dungeon thing. And then he turns around and he starts going the other way. and he's going against the grain. He's and people, the people that were there, the insane ones, thought that, what are you doing? And they started hitting him and punching him. And they were just like, this is not the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
And so he persisted and just let them hit him and knock him and bump him because he's going against a whole crew that was going the other direction. And, you know, he's called us to be nonconformists. Listen, if where you are is nullifying the word of God, if it just becomes a lecture to you and you're looking for music that makes your flesh jump around the room and everybody's criticizing the pastor when he was supposed to train you up for words of service and you're criticizing him because he's not doing your job, I'm talking to you. This is insane.
Right.
But you have to be willing to go against the grain. You have to be willing to say, this is insane. We're not going to get any more different results out of this if we keep doing this. And the same time, while we're doing this, church, and we're talking about people, while we're doing this, the world, gross darkness is lying over this world right now. And we have spiritual ghettos and spiritual camps waiting to take in more believers and just say, just hang around and walk in the same direction. Everybody, you don't have to be fruitful. 95%, he says in this book, 95%, not this book, but George Barna says, 95% of most Christians will not deliver or lead one person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to rethink this. I know this is crazy in the context of, is he really saying this? And it's like, you know, I'm going to answer to God.
Mm. That's right.
And you are too, by the way. And you can't blame it on anybody around you.
That's right.
And the truth is that if you had to name everybody on that pew that you were sitting with, you couldn't name them. You can talk about their life and you wouldn't even know. And the fact is, you had to face the fact you didn't care. And that you got to get free. You got to bust out. You got to bust out of religion. And you could be in the very same place. Not about leaving a building, but it's busting out of the mindset and say, hey, you know, meet with your pastor and say, listen, I want to be fruitful. I don't want to live one more day in my life without being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be a godly man in my marriage. I want to be a godly father. I want to be a godly woman. I want to live biblically like God's called us to be. And I want to go out into the harvest field, and I'm going to come here to be encouraged, but this is not going to be my everything. This is going to be part of my filling station so I can go out and I could literally light myself and a spiritual fire to be able to win people with the light of my life to God. I mean, it can be done. And if you're finding out where you're at, it's not working, then find somebody who is. Listen, time is limited. Your life is passing by. Your chance to be fruitful is limited. And it's your choice. One man can make a difference. When you think about Charles Seymour, one man cried out to God, the Azusa Street Revival. Amy Semple McPherson, one woman. Catherine Colburn, one woman. On and on. Reverend Billy Graham, one man. And think about it. You can do that too. And God is looking. God will step over a million people. A million people. I think John G. Lake said this, but I'm not sure. He'll step over a million people to find somebody and walk with somebody who believes him. He's looking for somebody. Maybe that's you. If that's you, maybe BFN use for you. Maybe you need to be trained up. Maybe you get connected. Maybe God's called you to a city to go in and like Paul into Ephesus and say, you know, I'm going to bring in, you can't relate to what is because if you relate to what is, it's insane. You're going to go there and do the same thing they're doing. Listen, if you're doing the same thing they're doing, one of you is irrelevant. And what we're doing is not working.
Right.
It's not working. And if it's working, then we wouldn't be losing at the state of losing our nation at this moment. God would be being removed from all courtrooms and the money and the schools. And this stuff about you can't even put a scripture on a piece of paper with your football team goes through. That's horrific.
Right.
Wow.
But it got that way because we made something up. And the thing that we made up, we're lifting it above God. Even at the consequence of the church itself. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. The church is not the hope of the world. We are dependent on the hope of the world, which is Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Wow, rethinking church.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's good. I mean, thank God for George Barna and his ministry. I mean, it's what you want to do. My goodness. You want to know what's happening in your own body.
Right.
You want to know when you think about what he says, one of his statistics, that the biweekly attendance at worship services is by believers' own admission, generally the only time that they worship. It's like, what have we created that's the only time that most believers take time to worship?
Right.
And it's like, you know what? It's what we do collectively on any day of the week that we gather should only be an amen to what has been occurring in our own life every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That day of the week, whatever day that we choose to honor God in, it is just a huge celebration. It's not the point that we get to go and pause about God and reflect upon God.
Right, exactly. That's good. I mean, the stats that he was putting out there was just unbelievable. I mean, think about it. Only half of the church, those are the ones that go to church, which means the building.
Right.
You know, haven't even felt the presence of God in over a year.
Wow.
A year.
Wow.
Not once.
That's amazing.
And that's only when they show up at the building.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, and the thing is that, my goodness, how it's all about him and his presence. It's all about who he is. How, I mean, Moses said, I mean, we can catch a clue, right? Moses said, if you don't go, I ain't going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. If your presence is not with us, I'm not moving.
Exactly.
And that's it. Right. You know, when we have other things that come in that are good ideas but are not biblical, then we get further and further and further away from the original intent of what God has always wanted us to be.
That's right.
So, my goodness, I'm so encouraged by this. I want us to keep reflecting and talking about this. But we have to rethink church. We have to rethink church and get it right back in our hearts the right way.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.